Morning, church. It always feels good to be back home for me and for my wife. You have been with us through thick and thin, supporting our ministry over the years, and you have indeed become our home. And I would like to take liberty also to salute the memory of those Canadians who sacrificed so that Canada would become the country that we came to admire, to appreciate. The Canada that opened its doors to us in 1983, and Canada has become home to us. And Canada also gave meaning to the sacrifice of my own great-grand-uncle who fought in World War I, that he did not fight in vain. May God bless you. I would also like to thank you for all that you have been for us in supporting our ministry as we are serving God now in Quebec. And I feel like we owe you a report. Coming back here is bringing the report from the field. Indeed, Quebec is a mission field. But the timing of it, for me, although it seems awkward, but it is providential on God's part. Because I do believe that God is challenging us on one thing, that you should see things from His perspective, from what He is doing. So I'm bringing you a minority report, a report that you can't find in the mainstream media, but a report that is true because it deals with what God is doing. Now, it has been a little over 2 years now since we moved to Quebec to serve God there. And there are still moments when my wife and I pause and ponder and wonder what we are doing there, why we are there. And to be honest with you, there are times that we find ourselves clueless. We don't know. Why, oh God? And yet, there is one thing that has remained constant. The same conviction that led us into Quebec. That conviction that was there at the beginning, that God was calling us in that field, is still there, firm, unshakable. God wants us to be there. We are convinced, I would say we were back then convinced, and are still convinced today, that the Church of Quebec is at a critical juncture in its history. The Lord is on the verge of doing a new thing in Quebec, and its impact will be felt, we do believe, all over the world, and especially in the Francophone world. We hear the echo of the Word of God through the prophet Isaiah when he says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praises." That's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 to 21. Now, this promise is without a doubt primarily for the people of Israel. And yet, we allow ourselves a degree of liberty to appropriate it for the province of Quebec. Throughout our own years of ministry, we have seen God at work time and again. We have seen Him turn around situations that were desperate, hopeless, and turn them into beautiful opportunities for ministry. Now, where we find ourselves, we cannot not believe that God will do it again. Yes, God will do it again. It's harder for us not to believe that promise than to believe it. Mind you, Quebec is still a desert. It is very difficult. Do you know that in Quebec, we have only 1% of people who have confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? 1%. Indeed, less than 1%. Close to 1%. And when you take the Francophone world, the Francophone population, the Quebecois, pure blood, the number goes down. I'm not talking about 10%, it's 1%. When you take the Quebecois themselves, pure blood, it goes down to 0.8%. In these first years in the St. Lawrence district, we have known our highs and our lows. However, the challenges we face and the difficulties that we have known have served to teach us to only depend on the Lord more and more. Do you know that in the city of Montreal where we live, we have more Muslims than confessing Christians? More than ever, we have felt the need to draw closer to God because we cannot do it on our own. We know that without Him, apart from Him, we can do nothing. So our personal desire has grown to grow closer, to draw closer to God, become more intimate with Him. So the first item in my agenda when I moved in Quebec was to challenge our workers to engage in deeper life. Now, you have to know that these are godly men who have served, most of them godly men who have served God for years and years, and at the end, very little to show for it. And it's easy to retreat in a bunker mentality, demoralized, defeated. And I knew that it's by drawing closer to God that things would change. So we've opened up multiple pathways which could lead anyone to experience deeper life. We never wanted to impose any one pathway, but we're exposing them to as many pathways as possible. Soul care, church renewal, Holy Spirit encounter, and you name it. And I think it's catching fire. Just last May, we had our district conference, and thank you again for sending to us Pastor James, Pastor Les, and Don to attend that conference, come to fellowship with us during the conference. However, we see that this desire for God is catching on in the theme that was chosen for our district conference. And the theme was Bloom. Now remember, this is a hard field. This is a desert. And yet people believe that there is something bubbling. So they said bloom. Now, bloom, it's that expression of deep longing for spiritual renewal. Now, in the Bible, with the exception of few cases where it used to express the ephemeral nature of human life, blooming often means in the Bible to prosper, to flourish, to shine, to spark. Blooming is a sign of hope and anticipation. And this meaning is made even stronger where the phenomenon of blooming is unexpected and can be attributed only and only to God's intervention. This is the case with Aaron's rod, which bloomed in Numbers chapter 17, or the case of the desert in bloom in Isaiah 35. In the text of Isaiah 35, 1 to 10, the desert bursts into bloom at the coming of the Lord. When we moved to Quebec, I was introduced to a godly man, young man, a fantastic guy. His name is Graham Singh. And Graham Singh was involved in England with Nikki Gumbel. We heard an announcement about Alpha and people coming to Christ. So he was involved in Trinity Brampton Church. And he was sent to Canada as a missionary to take over a dying church in Montreal. He came, and the Anglican of the bishop of the Anglican Church in Montreal shut down St. James, over a century year old cathedral in downtown Montreal, and reopened it the following Sunday as St. Jack's with Graham Singh. And you wouldn't believe what's happening there. Things are changing. Things are bursting. So in Isaiah 35, the desert burst into bloom at the coming of the Lord. So what did Graham do after he was introduced to me? So he would come to my office and take me for a walk. And would always go for a walk into the cemetery that was close to my office, one of the largest cemeteries in North America. We'd just walk. We just walk, talk, pray, stop, pray, share, sometimes cry. He wanted to drive a point home. We have come, you and him and I, to a place where it takes God to bring back to life. It's dead. It takes God to bring things back to life. And this is exactly that's what we see in chapter 35 of Isaiah. In chapter 34, actually God comes too. But there God comes to judge the nations. And the result of this judgment is desolation. Yet, in opposition to the somber image of chapter 34, when we come to chapter 35, 1 to 10, we see described the coming of God to save. Here, the desert is transformed at the approach of the Lord into a fertile land. The people of the redeemed return to Zion with shouts of joy. We read verse 1 to 2. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Isaiah 35, verse 1 to 2. By his presence and his presence alone, the Lord transforms the desert into the glory of Lebanon, into the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. That is, the desert is sharing the same reputation with those regions known for being fertile regions. This transformation is a sign of the glory and the splendor of the Lord himself. For only he is capable of such an act. I do believe this to be true, not only for regions like Quebec, but it is also true for my own life. There are regions where God and God alone can bring back life. God and God alone can bring back changes. He is the creator, the master of all life, capable of giving life and hope where hope is lost. This is my hope for Quebec. Oh, I know that through his prophet, the Lord is also commissioning you and I, whoever does not find himself in that situation of despair, of hopelessness. He asks those who are strong, he commissions them to strengthen the weak with a clear message. And I pray that FAC, you would hear this clear message. Beyond what we can get from the media, beyond what we can get from whatever sources, God is telling us, read Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 to 4. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, yes. With divine retribution, yes. But also he will come to save. Do you hear that message? Do you want to heed that message? And when we see the remaining of the text in Isaiah 35, we see that in the remainder of the text, we have an image of the results of the presence of God among his people. A revival that touches not only humanity, but indeed the whole universe. Our problems in Canada need spiritual answers. And the spiritual answer per excellence is a revival. Even if we know today that the desert is not a place of utter lifelessness, it still holds true that it is known as a sterile zone, unconducive to life. Low levels of precipitation create hostile conditions for plants and animals. In human terms, the famous Murphy Law seems to operate in full force in a desert like Quebec. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You can testify to that. The desert will advance, but it will not retreat. Nevertheless, that's the good news. In Isaiah 35, God breaks the rule. To a discouraged people, defeated and in exile, he affirms that he has never stopped being the creator. Nothing is beyond hope because God is a living God. Him who brings into existence, or if you want, him who brought into existence what did not exist before, is willing to do so again. He comes. He comes now. He comes to save. He comes to restore. He comes to redeem. He comes to bring back life. Strong in this presence, we are empowered to believe that our deserts of despair, whether personal or otherwise, our desert of despair, boredom, and mediocrity can still flourish. Not because we can do it, but because God can do it. We only need to hear the prophet's call. This is your God. He comes to save. He comes to save. Here he comes. Somewhat later in the book, God says through the prophet, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Isaiah 43:19. Certainly, we can affirm that in our desert of despair, boredom, and mediocrity, we see in our own desert of Quebec, here and there, the budding of a new work of God, the work that he has promised. Among the signs of this new abundant life that is developing is, first of all, a greater degree of hunger for God that we perceive in Quebec. You'd not believe it. What's happening in Quebec? And I don't know how you would feel being part of a great gathering of young people from all walks of life coming before the Lord and seeking God's presence with all their heart. When I say all, it's relatively speaking, Quebec way, 120 students and 120 young men and women in one room, seeking God. Some of them even laying flat on the floor, wanting more. See, these young men and women do not share the baggage that their parents and grandparents have against the church. They've tried what the parents offer them, the absence of God, secularism. It's not working. They want something other, genuine, authentic. And they are opening their hearts to God. Come, come. Oh, I know that that's a sign of a revival. Because years ago, Tozer, who faced his own challenges, cultural upheaval, social upheaval, political upheaval in the 50s and 60s, also said that for him too, the only true sign of revival is hunger for God. And allow me to read what he says in The Pursuit of God. In this hour of all but universal darkness, one cheering gleam appears. Within the fold of conservative Christianity, there are to be found increasing numbers of people whose religious lives are marked by a growing hunger after God. They are eager for spiritual realities and will not be put off with words, nor will they be content with correct interpretations of truth. They are thirsty for God. And they will not be satisfied until they have drunk deep at the fountain of living water. This is the only real harbinger of revival which I have been able to detect anywhere on the religious horizon. And then he goes on to say, it may be the cloud the size of a man's hand, for which a few saints here and there have been looking. We are living it in Quebec as well. And what we are living in Quebec seems insignificant when you compare to the enormous task before us. However, we have every reason to believe that the little cloud as the servant of the prophet Elijah saw rising over the sea in 1 Kings chapter 18 is also for us. What we see now may be perhaps no more than little clouds, small clouds the size of a human hand. But these small clouds are what we believe the signs that rain is coming. They will gather together to be transformed into a great shower that will pour over Quebec to fertilize its arid soil in view of a great harvest for the glory of God. God is at work in the desert of Quebec. Here's some just few examples. When we came to Quebec, we were convinced that time is coming for the Church of Quebec to be revived and transformed and play its role as a sending church, especially in the Francophone world. And these words were confirmed and came to me in a prophetic way during our last retreat. Completely unknown to the situation in Quebec. He didn't have a clue to what we said when we applied for this job in Quebec. In his prayer for Quebec, he prayed, as we'll be doing later on, that God would break the spirit of poverty over the Church of Quebec. the spirit of not enough workers, not enough Christians, not enough resources, not enough whatever, not enough, not enough. So that he said the church of Quebec would be revived and become a ascending church. Well, within the last 18 months, within the last 18 months, just within the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we are not the only ones, we have seen 9 new venture churches started. We haven't seen that for years. Yeah, we have not seen that for years. And among the churches, just to give you what kind of life is emerging, one of these new plant churches is a Chinese church. They were released to plant a church. They're meeting on a school campus using one room. And within 6 weeks of meeting, they reached an average of 50 in attendance. And giving, they made up, they wanted to plant a Chinese church. And within the makeup, they found out there is more than Chinese here. So already, they're looking for a second pastor who will not be Chinese. God is on the move. The other church is a Haitian church. It's a long story. I will make it short because of my time. We try to plant the church as it's done in the Haitian tradition. It didn't work. The young man came to us. He was already outside the rules and bounds that we set up. He was already meeting with a group of people in his house. And they didn't have enough space. So now he came. I'm not asking for permission to plant a church. I've already started. I'm asking for you, for your help to have a space. Long story, we gave him the space at the district ministry center with lost income to us. But I sat down with him to give him advice that what we have done is a risky move. I have Dexcom to account too. So if he fails, it's going to be bad, not only for him, but also for future church plants. And he looks me in the eyes and says, in a very Haitian way, "But I will succeed because God is with me." So we gave up the space. I went off to Toronto for meetings. The following Sunday, literally, the pastor who's the main anchor for that space sends to me an email with pictures. The room, the space was set up for 150 people. He had received a donation of 150 chairs and he saw in that a message from God. So the pastor writes me back, not the church planter, but the other pastor, "Are you having a party here?" And the guy, when we spoke with him after I got back, he said, "Yeah, we did set up not for 40 because we have 40 in our group. We set up for 150 because we received 150 chairs and we do believe that within a year God will fill those empty chairs." God is on the move. Not only that, my wife is involved in a church that within a span of few months, literally, the church went from being 80% Quebecois to 60% non-Quebecois, and mostly black, brown, or all the other colors. So what happened? This church years ago had faith that God was calling them to minister to the diaspora. So they moved away from Fairview Island Church in a comfortable, you know, middle-class neighborhood into this neighborhood where they have one of the largest lower-income housing. That's where immigrants come when they come first. They've been ministering to the people for years with very little to show for. And then all of a sudden, the Haitian immigration crisis hurt. They continue to do what they have been doing. But this time, some of these Haitians decided to come to this church. By doing so, as if they called other minorities in the neighborhood, especially Africans, that, hey, this is a safe place. So they came, and over a span of just a few months, the church went from being 80% Caucasian to 60% non-Caucasian. God is on the move. He's also giving new life to old churches. Just a story from two churches. In Matan, in the Gaspésie area, we have one of our oldest churches, Alliance Oldest Churches. It was dying. It has gone down to six people. So I received a mandate from Dexcom to find a process to bring the church to a close. And I went there, talking with the six people. I felt that there was still life. So we did something that appeared like crazy. We asked two ladies that had been trying to plant a church outside Quebec City. For many theological reasons, it was not working. So we sent them to Matan, to the Gaspésie, to see if they can nurture this small group that they would come back to life. And God has done it over again in our lives. Whenever we get discouraged, whenever we ask ourselves why, whenever, there's always either a phone call or a message or something that brings hope to us, to cheer us on. And that day was a bad day for me. Actually, I couldn't even sleep. I went down to in the basement to my study to catch up on emails. I'm reading the reports, I'm reading emails, and in the middle of this pile of emails, I get an email from Matan. Not only the work had gone to 12, but at 12, they had signed MOU with the ORS, our missionaries in Alliance Missionaries. MOU with them, in which they're saying in the introduction, we cannot wait until we become big to be involved in what God is doing in the world. Here and now, 12 people, we commit ourselves to pray for you in private and every Sunday publicly. But please, for us to continue, accept to send us a report every month. We commit ourselves to give to what God is doing through you. That made my day. Alliance DNA from the beginning. And finally, in Saint-Agathe, that's north of Montreal, in the Laurentian, beautiful Laurentian region, we also have a church. We're stuck in time, was not making progress. Actually, when we went to preach there after I got back, got to Quebec, we visited the church. And most of the people in that church were either my age or older. And most of them are the same people that we saw when we visited the church in the 80s. They even sang a song that we taught them. No Sunday school because there are no kids. Not even one. No youth school because there were no youth. Not even one. And we went there just last August when we had our district, the DS's retreat. And Dave Hearn, our president, was preaching there, so we had to accompany him. Not only the place was full, but they also had a baptismal service. And those who were baptized represent the community and where God is moving in Quebec. There were four people, two young girls, one African descent, black girl, and one Quebecois pure blood. And then one middle class lady from the community, pure Quebecois, and then one homeless person. Four were baptized. God is on the move. And my appeal to you, brothers and sisters, that you would hear God's call when he says to those who are strong, strengthen those who are weak. With the message that your God is coming. Let's strengthen what God is doing in Quebec, because when Quebec is revived, Canada will be healed. This I believe. And may God bless us all.